day that you'll die. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, man, oh, man. What an iconic weekend filled with cinematic genius. Not just Hocus Pocus 2, but I literally just finished watching House of the Dragon, Episode 7. My mind is blown. I will talk about it a little bit, but I first and foremost want to say hello, everybody. I've literally not put out an episode in an entire month. I was traveling home, then I went to Europe for 2 weeks, and then I came back, and I just wanted to get reacclimated, and I was super, super jet-lagged. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take a month off because I just want to live my best life, and that is exactly what I did. That and I was channeling a lot of my time and efforts to TikTok and taking care of my dog and whatnot, but I am in fact settled back in my apartment in LA, and I am so, so happy to be back. So hi, everybody. It's I, obviously, Andrew, the Mistress of Pop Culture. I hope you have all been well, healthy, taking care of yourself. Happy October the 3rd. On October 3rd, you asked me what day it was. It's October 3rd. If you know, you know. Everybody knows what that reference is. It's iconic. It's Lindsay Lohan's literal day. And I'm probably going to have to watch Mean Girls, because I don't know if October 3rd is officially Mean Girls Day, or Christmas is Mean Girls Day, because, like, of the Jingle Bell Rock thing, the iconic Jingle Bell Rock thing. I don't even know. But it was a great weekend, because I'm, like, reeling about Hocus Pocus 2 coming back. I've been waiting with bated breath for this film to come out for so long, and it finally came out. There's so many billboards all around LA for it, and the hype was just out of control. I'm such a big fan of the original. I mean, Sarah Sanderson is my hero, Winifred Sanderson is my spirit animal, and Mary Sanderson is just, she's an icon. She's a legend, and she is the moment, in the words of the iconic Wendy Williams. It was just a great weekend filled with lots and lots and lots and lots of content. But before I get into everything, I just want to say my trip to Europe was great. I went to London, I went to Switzerland, and I went to Italy, Milan, and Sicily. Chef's kiss. I had so much granita. I can't even... Granita. I don't even know how to explain what it is, but it's so good. I had so much pizza, so much delicious pasta, and then in Switzerland, everything there too. I will say, though, that the only difficult part about traveling abroad for so long is not having Starbucks, and yes, I know, that's, like, literally the least of my concerns. Or the least of anyone's concerns, but I really do need a big-ass iced coffee every single morning to literally function. I had a migraine every single morning when I was abroad, and those espressos that are, like, the size of my pinky just didn't do it. And I had, like, a few of them, but it really did not do it. So I had to take, like, Advil every day, which I don't love. I mean, I love Advil. I literally do not leave my house without it. I have some in my car. I have some in my bag. I have some in my pocket. I have some next to my bed. I literally have it everywhere I go. But I just... when I literally landed, the first thing I did was I went to Starbucks and got my iced oat milkshake and brown sugar espresso, whatever you say. It's so good. But that's pretty much the only thing that was, like, keeping me anchored home, that and my dog. But aside from that, that's pretty much it. So first things first, I want to talk about Hocus Pocus 2. Okay, SJP, Bette Midler, and... Kathy and Jimmy are back. It was really, really good. I know a lot of people are, like, ragging on it and saying it wasn't as great, but obviously, you know, it's been 30 years almost since the original came out, and I'm a huge fan of the original. It's a comedy genius in those three ladies, as well as Billy Butcherson, Thackeray Banks, Allison, and Max. Now, spoiler alert, Max, Allison, and Thackeray and Danny are not in it, neither are the parents, which is okay, because it's an entire new generation. By the way, there are three lead girls, well, really two, and they're iconic, but Whitney Peak, who is in the Gossip Girl 2.0 as, I forget what her character's name is in the Gossip Girl 2.0, but she's basically the lead. She's the female version of Dan Humphrey, and she's iconic, and she is the moment. I'm really happy to see her star rising. She was so great. Spoiler alert, she has witchy powers at the end of the film. And the girlies are brought back by the Black Flame candle, which is, like, really weird because the candle is, like, a weird shape and it's, like, gray, it's not black, but pish posh, neither here nor there. It's so visually stunning because obviously the original was made in the 90s, so obviously the special effects on that are a bit more up to date. It was modernized, so obviously when they were flying, Winifred was flying on a broom, Sarah Sanderson, because in the OG, you know, she flies on a mop, she flew on a Swiffer, which was so funny, and Kathy Najimy in the original movie, as we all know, flies on a vacuum, so in this one, she flew on two Roombas, those, like, circular vacuum things that, like, have a mind of their own. It was iconic, it was so funny. Bette and the girlies sung an iconic version of One Way or Another, which, by the way, I had seen bits and pieces of that because on TikTok when they were filming it in 2021, it was all over the place and there was fans and everybody posting TikToks together. So I kind of knew what it was all about, but seeing the whole thing pieced together and edited beautifully was just iconic. Tony Hale was in it. He was so good. You guys probably know him. He was in Veep. He was Julia Louis-Dreyfus's right-hand man. So funny. He was the mayor. There was a bit of a disconnect between him and the central plot. Like, in the beginning of the movie, oh my gosh. Okay, the highlight of the movie, aside from the girlies being back, was the young, the actress played young Winifred, stole the show. She was so great. She had studied Bette Midler's mannerisms to a T. So funny. I literally have watched the movie 6 times since it's been out because literally I have no social life and I'm not dating and, like, literally that's it. So I've had, like, the time to dedicate to rewatching this film. And young Winifred is so, so great. Let me tell you the actress's name. She's going to be a star. Her name is Taylor Paige Henderson. Such a star. So talented. I definitely foresee big things in the future. And by the way that they... I know I'm jumping all over the place, but the way that they ended this film was they left the they left it open for another film, which I hope they do. But I will say this, and this is my one critique of the film. They definitely need to hire a new writer because the girl who wrote this film, not to be mean or anything, but she kind of didn't do a good job. I mean, I know, I'm not a professional screenwriter myself, but the girlie didn't do a great job. I mean, I think that they need to incorporate the originals, and that's what would make the third film great. It would be like a franchise. Who knew Hocus Pocus would be a franchise? But I do have to say, there was a few nods to the OG film in the film, and it was so great. And it was also really funny because the girlies are in Walgreens, and they're, like, looking at beauty products. So funny, and it was just, like, they definitely brought it into our current day, which I loved, but yeah, it definitely had its shortcomings. But you know what? See, there was nothing, as the three young versions of the witches, as well as the three OGs, nothing wrong with them. Flawless performances, and it was just so great. A huge kudos to Disney Plus for finally getting this made, Bette Midler too for spearheading it, and it was just so crazy to see SJP after watching her and Just Like That go back to Sarah Sanderson, and now she's going back to And Just Like That. And it's just, honestly, it's iconic, and it was a lot of fun, and if you know, you're in the mood for a good, you know, timeless film, you want to tap your toe and snap your fingers, I highly suggest going over to Disney+. House of the Dragon, Episode 7, you guys, so, excuse my language, fucking good. It was a game-changer episode. Alison Hightower reminds me of every person I have ever disliked in my life. She is pure evil, but she's an icon. Rhaenyra is being shady. Daemon Targaryen is just, ugh, love him. The kids are fighting. The dragons are amazing. I'm not going to spoil it because I know there are everybody watches the show, so I don't want to spoil it, but it was amazing. And it's, I venture to say it's almost as good as Game of Thrones. I mean, no, Game of Thrones is, like, set up everything, but it's different because this is, like, all within the Targaryen fam, and they're, like, literally out of control, these people. But George R. R. Martin said that. It's literally basically the demise of the Targaryens, like, how there was so much infighting within the family that it's literally led to their demise, even though, like, I'm a little bit confused by that. But anyways, I often think about when I'm watching the show what Daenerys, how, like, she would have played a pivotal part in this, and, like, what her reactions to everything would have been. And it also really makes so much sense why she is the way she is. And why she does what she does in the final season. I mean, I know everybody thinks that the writers did her dirty. I don't. I, like, totally loved it. She was a woman on the verge of a nervous breakdown because everything was taken from her. And I get it because the Targaryen dynasty was everything. I love a good dynasty. So, yeah, it was amazing. And Alicent is just... I so badly want to say who she reminds me of because she reminds me of someone very specific that I know. He's a boy. And he is literally the embodiment of human evil, and I'm actually not friends with this person anymore, but he is literally, if evil was the form of a human being, it would be this person. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But once again, I do think Alicent herself and Olivia Cooke, the actress who plays her, is an icon, is a legend, and she is the moment. As well as Emma Darcy, who plays Rhaenyra, I don't want to say older versions, but yeah, the older versions. They're so good. What a show. What a time. It's so great to be back in Westeros. Westeros. So aside from that, I have a few stories for you guys today to chit and chat about. I hope you guys have all been well. So much I feel like has gone on in the past couple of weeks. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to take a break. And that's exactly what I did. Because I needed to catch my breath. Catch my breath. Isn't that a Kelly Clarkson song? So yeah. I'm just racking my brain. Anything else new? No. Nothing else new. Okay, so, without further ado, everybody, here are the pop culture stories that we literally have not chatted about in quite some time. Oh, wait a second. Before I get started, I just want to give a huge shout out to Gabrielle Union Wade, because literally her TikToks come up on my For You page all the time, and she's a literal icon. I've been obsessed with Gabrielle since obviously Bring It On, but then Deliver Us from Eva, and then she was in 10 Things I Hate About You. I know you can be whelmed, you can be overwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed? Ugh, so iconic. If you know, you know. So I just want to, like, give a huge shout out to her because I love her so much. And she's just putting out premium-ass content, and I love her family, and I can't even. So, okay, first story of the day. Bahati Prince Lou supports Adam Levine at first show since cheating scandal. Okay, obviously we all know the what's been going on with Adam Levine. You know, DMs were revealed, nothing really nefarious other than the fact that maybe he and his wife allegedly had, like, some type of agreement where he was talking to other girls. We don't actually know the inner details because it's their private marriage. Adam Levine's already addressed it. You all know the story. But anyways, I guess she's at a show. Okay, this is from Page Six. Standing by her mans. Bahati Prince Lou was spotted backstage at Adam Levine's show with Maroon 5 in Las Vegas Saturday night, Page Six has learned. The performance marked Levine's first public appearance since he was accused of cheating on his pregnant wife and sending flirty messages to various women via Instagram DMs. Levine, 43, took to the stage at the MGM Grand Hotel over the weekend as part of Shaquille O'Neal's charity gala, The Event. Oh, how nice. Which was attended by stars like Rob Gronkowski, Camille Kosatek, Logan Paul. I love Logan Paul, by the way. His Snapchats are always coming up on my page and I watch him. He's very handsome. And Flavor Flav. O'Neal, who had previously praised Levine amid scandal, publicly threw his support behind the embattled singer while speaking at the event. Quote, "Oh, Adam is a friend of mine from a long time ago. I always say to myself, you know, I cannot be a hypocrite," explained the NBA legend who was previously married to Shawnee Henderson from 2002 to 2011. "Now, I wasn't the greatest husband in the world, so just because I have a large platform right now doesn't give me the right to bash other people. He's great. He's doing something for the children. He's always been like that. I'm happy for him, and I wish him luck." The former Los Angeles Lakers player for... Okay, blah, 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 blah. Well, I guess there's not much else in this article about the fact that the Victoria's Secret Angel was photographed holding her husband's hand on several occasions since the scandal. He even sent a subtle message by wearing a shirt that read "Love." Refs for the couple did not immediately respond to comment. Okay, I have many thoughts about this. First and foremost, like I said literally a minute ago, we don't know, we being the public, we don't know the inner workings of any marriage that's of a public couple, of a famous couple, of a celebrity couple. So we can pass judgment, of course, and we can be like, oh, we shouldn't be talking to other girls, we shouldn't be stepping up, but how do we not know that they made some type of agreement within their marriage, that they're open or whatnot? And if they are open and it's their decision, that's their MO. Like, let them do them. You can't dictate to a couple how to live their lives. Yeah, some people are more traditional and, you know, reserved, and they're not into that, but that's okay because Adam Levine and his wife can do what they want to do. So I guess that's that on that. It is great to see that the wife is there supporting her husband. Obviously, they're about to have a new baby, and or she already had the baby. I'm not quite sure about the inner workings of those details, but I am happy. I do love Adam Levine. I'm a big fan of him. I don't know much about his wife, but I do know that they're a beautiful couple. I've been a fan of Adam Levine since the Laguna Beach season one finale when they played that song, and Steven picks up Elsie in San Francisco. True OGs of reality TV. Not an exact reference, and I'm just going to leave it at that. So that's that on that. Okay, second story of the day. Oh, okay. Somebody who I'm actually such a big fan of, Billy Eichner, Billy on the Street. He's very funny. He's been on Watch What Happens Live. His Meryl Streep on Watch What Happens Live. Once again, a very specific reality TV reference, but if you know, you know. Anyways, this is what TMZ is reporting. Excuse me. Billy Eichner seems to blame homophobia for Bros box office bomb. Okay. Billy Eichner's new film, Bros, came out, which is getting a lot of fantastic reviews. I have not seen it yet, but I've heard great things about it. I've seen clips. I love whenever I get to see the commercials on advertisements via YouTube or whatnot. And it's doing great things for the LGBTQIA plus community because it's really putting in mainstream media a film about the Queens, which literally as one I love. Okay, but anyways, I guess, you know, box office numbers aren't what they used to be pre-pandemic. And I think, you know, well, he just has a stake. Okay. Billy Eichner's new rom-com completely bombed at the box office and he appears to be chalking it to homophobia across the country. The comedian turned actor took to Twitter Sunday to acknowledge the low ticket sales. The movie only ranked in 4.8 million domestically, placing fourth this week, and he's definitely bummed by the underwhelming turnout, despite the fact that the film is objectively solid. Okay, he tweeted a few things. This is the first thing he tweeted, also what TMZ screen grabbed. Last night, I snuck in and sat in the back of a sold-out theater playing Bros in LA. The audience howled with laughter start to finish, burst into applause at the end, and some were wiping away tears as they walked out. It was truly magical. Really, I am very proud of this movie. He writes, okay, Billy Eichner also went on to the claim that despite Bros being hailed as one of the funniest comedies in recent memory, a theater chain called Universal, to say they were pulling the trailer because of the gay content, he says Universal was able to convince them to keep it. And then he tweeted again, "That's just the world we live in, unfortunately. Even with glowing reviews, great Rotten Tomatoes scores, and A Cinema score, etc., straight people, especially in certain parts of the country, just didn't show for Bros. And that's disappointing, but it is what it is." His final thoughts his final thought hits his point right on the head. Everyone who isn't homophobic, okay, quote, everyone who isn't a homophobic weirdo should go see Bros tonight. You will have a blast, and it is special and uniquely powerful to see this particular story on the big screen, especially for queer folks who don't get this opportunity often. I love this movie so much. Go Bros. Billy's right about one thing. The movie was positively reviewed by critics and normies alike. So by all accounts, it's pretty darn good. As for why it did so poorly, it's hard to say. It was marketed fairly heavily by the studio, with the trailer getting played in a lot of theaters and billboards all around the LA area. It's pretty clear, though, Billy sees it as a lingering bigotry. Okay, I have many thoughts about this. First of all, I'm going to say something. Well, two things. First and foremost, I live in LA, so it's different because I see marketing for all the films and whatnot. And as someone who is a huge fan of him, I personally get it. Like, it's very frustrating when you pour your heart and soul into a project and it doesn't get good numbers. But we live in a world, well, the entertainment is a world where it's all based on numbers and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if bigotry or quote-unquote homophobia is the reason why people didn't go to the movie. Even Marvel movies aren't getting the numbers that they used to. Like, yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home got huge numbers. And I think Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness did too. But, like, it's very different because those are Marvel/Disney movies. And that has already as a built-in audience, a huge fandom. And it's like a comic book superhero type of thing. Bros is, even though there's thousands, millions, hundreds of millions of gays in the world, not everybody may know who Billy is. Not everybody may follow his amazing comedy and whatnot. So there's many, you know, contributing factors to why it didn't do well. But I just think in general, people don't go to the movies anymore. Everybody wants to see movies at home. I still go to the movies, not all the time, but I do go. Like, when I see a Marvel movie, obviously I have to go to the movies. I want to see, you know what I haven't seen yet, though? I haven't seen Don't Worry, Darling. But I don't even know if that performed that well. So I don't think it's just his film. I think movies in general just aren't what they used to be. That's why so many streaming services are making, independent-based projects? I don't even know the word. Like, Netflix, what they do. Streaming movies. Movies for streaming. But anyways, I think this is so great for the culture. I think it's great for the gays. I think it's great for, you know, the world to see that a story about queens can be in the mainstream cinema world, and that's all, it's what it should be, because it's reflective of the world we live in. So, but who knows? If you guys don't know who Billy Eichner is, I suggest you go on YouTube and or TikTok and just look up Billy on the Street clips. They're laugh out loud funny. My favorite one is when he's with John Oliver and he stops this guy in this queen. He's like, excuse me, sir, are you gay? And the guy's like, yes. And he's like, do you know who John Oliver is? He goes, I don't know who that is. And then he goes, oh, okay, do you know who Wendy Williams is? And the queen goes, of course. It's iconic. I love it. But anyways, that's, you know, just the world we live in. So, but I hope it, you know, makes more money. Okay, third story of the day. This is something, one of those stories about, like, a celebrity being in tune, or what is the word? What the hell is it? Self-aware. Okay, this is from E! Online, E! News. Yolanda Hadid jokes she's, quote, worst mom ever in almond eating TikTok. Okay, mother knows best how to give her critics more to chew on. On September 30th, Yolanda Hadid shared a TikTok video showing herself eating from a large bowl of almonds in various settings. The mother of supermodels Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid captioned the clip show, hashtag worst mom ever, hashtag almonds. The video appeared to be a comedic response to the backlash Yolanda has received online over the years over an exchange which she had with Gigi Hadid, her daughter, on episode 2 of season 4 of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. In 2013, while both women were on what Yolanda's then-husband David Foster dubbed a fast, the teenage supermodel told her mom that over the phone that she feels, quote, really weak and, quote, had, like, have an almond. Yolanda responded, have a couple of almonds, chew them really well. Okay, this was an iconic Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reference. If you don't watch the franchise or Real Housewives in general, you might not understand this, but it was so iconic at the moment. It was, like, really cringy. It was basically, like, Yolanda being a stage mom. And I know many people don't understand what that means, but the concept is basically Yolanda was a supermodel herself, and Gigi was, like, stepping into that. And Gigi was like, I'm really tired, I'm really weak and fatigued. And Yolanda's like, just eat some almonds and chew them. Because obviously, back then, the idea, this is what was in the world, this is not my personal thinking, was, you know, supermodels had to look a certain way, i.e. very, very thin and in shape and basically snatched. Now, our idea of what a model looks like is very different, and it is a very inclusive world that includes all different body types, as it should. But back in the day, it was different. Back in the day, when Yolanda was on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But that was a moment that, like, people now have taken umbrage with, especially since TikTok has really blown up. Like, a lot of clips of cringeworthy moments of Real Housewives moments, or basically any other reality TV show moments where the women and or husbands say, like, not culturally appropriate things. But I guess this is just Yolanda being in tune with the times. The former Bravo star's new TikTok video, which shows her eating almonds while sitting by a fireplace, taking walks, tending to a horse, and a stable, feeding baby goats, and driving a golf cart, has gone viral and also received a warning banner from TikTok that reads, "Participating in this activity could result in you or others getting hurt." E! News reached out to Yolanda for comment. The video was met with mixed reactions. Quote, "Toxic, toxic, toxic. I'll never treat my daughters the way you treat yours," one user commented, while another wrote, "This literally does the opposite of what you think it does. Stop promoting unhealthy eating habits." But others reacted favorably to Yolanda's video. Quote, "Chew that half really well," one user joked. Another person called the post iconic, while a third commented a clapback no one expected. Look, we live in a world where everybody wants to give their opinions about everything. You're obviously going to get negative responses. Even when I post TikTok videos, I tend not to read the comments because people can say really shitty stuff. And I'm the type of person that likes to fight fire with fire. But I learned that you really can't do that because when, you know, one pops up, a million more pop up. And you're like, you can't find everyone. So I just figured the best way to handle things like this is just to give in and or ignore and or be kind. But I will say, this is iconic. This is literally iconic. Yolanda is, she was one of the best housewives. I mean, there was a reason why she stayed on for so long. She understood the assignment, basically, is what it is. So, love it. And I miss Yolanda on the show. She should come back. A lot of people are saying she should come back because, you know, if Rinna is allegedly leaving, you know, you never know. It's my super short show. Okay, this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day. The royals. I can't literally survive without talking about Harry and Meghan because I'm so obsessed with them. And they're basically everywhere. So Patrick is reporting Prince Harry and Meghan Markle hunting for a new estate in Hope Ranch report. Moving on up, basically. Excuse me. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle may be moving from Montecito, California to the Hope Ranch community. The Santa Barbara News Press reported on Friday that the couple have been, quote, hunting for a new place as theirs no longer, quote, properly accommodates them. Ooh. The Hope Ranch is a private community about 10 miles away from Montecito, where the Duke and Duchess of Sussex moved in March 2020 with their son Archie, now 3. Since living in California, the pair have gone to welcome daughter Lilibet 1. The family of four is possible neighborhood doesn't just boast a members-only country club and golf club. It also includes access to tennis courts, picnic grounds, and a network of equestrian trails. Fancy! Homes in the area can reportedly reach a size $22 million. The outlet is unclear whether the former military pilot, 38, and his wife, 41, have already purchased a new place there or are just looking at the duo's alleged relocation. Efforts come 2 months after the news broke that their home was a victim of multiple intruder scares in May. Harry and the Suits alum recently returned to California after jetting across the pond in August for multiple charity events and staying through most of September after Queen Elizabeth II's unexpected passing. Look, the Duke and Duchess, Meghan and Harry have to be saved, and they have two kids, Archie and Lilibet. And their kids have to be saved too, so that's just not acceptable to people who are intruding their property. It's not okay. And they should move into, you know, a nicer grounds. But this thought did run through my mind. If they're looking to, you know, move into a bigger estate, obviously they have millions of dollars from their ventures and whatnot. And Meghan working on Suits, you know, she gets residuals and whatnot, so she's, you know, an earning queen and he is an earning prince. I do wonder if Queenie passed away, William did come into some money, or if he inherited more money from his dad or whatever because they're moving on up. Not to say that they didn't already have the money. They probably have tons of millions, but I get it, you know, they want their lives to be better, and they should, I love them, I'm a huge fan of them, I'm not like one of those people that is like, oh, Meghan tore the royal family apart. I don't think that's what it is. I think Harry was just like, I want to get out of here, and I want to marry a beautiful woman, and he came here, and he did just that, so let them live. But I'm excited to see their new house, wherever they may end up, or they might keep their beautiful house. I'm very curious to know where they land, but I'm obsessed with them. Like, I'm literally the biggest fan ever because I think they're icons. So, yeah. Anyways, everybody, that is our episode. That is our Monday episode. That was pretty good. It was a little exciting. I always forget how to do this after taking so much time off. I know I'm, like, so inconsistent with this. I'm going to try to be more consistent with putting out episodes. It's just, I was traveling and whatnot, and I was just like, I just want to live. I just want to relax. That's exactly what I did. And, you know, that's that. But aside from that, I hope everybody had a great weekend, and I implore you all to go and watch Hocus Pocus 2 on Disney Plus, and also watch House of the Dragon Episode 7 if you haven't even started the show. I highly suggest watching it. It is amazing. With that being said, have a great, productive, successful, sexy, fabulous Monday, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, Tuesday. Bye.